With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, howdy, partner.
How y'all doing?
Welcome to the 98.5 KTK Morning Show Recap for Thursday, January 30th.
Tell your mom and them I asked how she doing.
Yeah, how are they all doing? Should you text your ex on Valentine's Day? No.
I'm going to say no.
No.
I can't think of a good reason, unless you're in just incredibly good stead with the ex. It was the best breakup in the world. And don't be so needy.
Well, it's not so much that.
Move on.
Some people, I do know this. Some people I do know in the past,
yeah,
do feel left out on Valentine's Day, and the whole thing is that you know, you maybe want to go back to your ex and realizing that, you know, that's the safe, comfort place, even though you were miserable. I know a lot of married couples that are miserable, but they stay together because they're comfortable.
You
know,
you only remember the good stuff.
Yeah.
You don't remember the bad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what this relationship expert really talks about is that if you have unresolved feelings, she suggests actually talking to your friend about the, you know, and maybe that'll make you feel better.
So talk to somebody else before you contact the ex on Valentine's Day.
Pretty much, if, like you said, Storm, if you're in a very mature relationship with your ex, that's okay.
Good for you, but I think it's kind of rare.
Very. So this is interesting here. You know, the number of people going vegetarian and vegan for many reasons. One of them is just because they don't want to, you know, harm animals.
Sure.
Some it's for the protection of the planet. Some because, you know, a lot of vegetarian and vegan food is delicious.
No fooling. We had vegan last night, and we crave it. It's delicious.
I tried going vegetarian at the beginning of 2019.
I remember that.
And I kind of gave up because I really just missed meat.
You know, I believe that if your body is craving something,
yeah,
there's a reason for it. I think that's, you know, just, but, and if every now and then I'll have a steak.
You're right.
But only if I'm craving it. You know?
Right. And so here's the idea behind what's being billed as the meat patch.
Okay.
There's a company.
I thought this was a scam. I thought it was an Onion article at first, you know.
Yeah. Strong Roots, it's a Irish vegetarian frozen food brand, is actually teamed up with a researcher from Oxford to create this. And they say the idea is that it will be similar to a nicotine patch for smokers. The Strong Roots say that the meat patch will release the odor of bacon after being scratched by the wearer.
See, it's more aromatherapy as opposed to the nicotine patch actually introducing nicotine into your bloodstream. You wear it like a nicotine patch, but you have to scratch it to get – it's a scratch and sniff.
Well, yeah, and the whole idea is that, you know, half of eating and tasting is through your nose.
Sure
so
is.
If you're, you know, your nose is smelling meat and you're eating something that isn't meat but has that same texture – well, then, therefore, that might be a little easy for you to break into becoming a vegetarian.
Instead of a BLT, make a lettuce and tomato sandwich and then just take a hit off your patch before you take a bite.
Scratch really hard. I really need it, man.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk about the gym. Apparently, we are our own worst enemy at the gym.
You will never look at the gym the same way. I don't know where you found this, but we both work out a lot, and it's incredible. What is it? 23% of gym owners wait longer than an hour to shower after the gym. Some wait longer than 3 hours.
Yes.
And it can cause bacteria growth. Think of fungus that's growing on your body. If you have mushrooms down there, I think that's one of the signs.
Well, you know, you think about the case of how do you get athlete's foot. Is athlete's foot is because it's hot sweat and there's fungus growing. And what's interesting is that women, believe it or not, women are the ones that wait longer to take a shower than men reason. 10%, that's 1 in 10 people at the gym. Never have washed their gym clothes ever.
I can't even wrap my mind around that. I can't. First off, I don't think you're working out hard enough.
Maybe.
If you don't, you know what I mean? Some people, it always amazes me. I leave the gym looking like I ran a 30-mile marathon.
Right.
But some people will go out just looking all fresh. And I'm thinking, well, you might be wasting your time a little bit.
Maybe that's the case for it. And that's why I don't relate, because I definitely have to wash my clothes.
Yeah.
And they say that 44% of gym guards said that they wear the same gym gear more than once.
Half the people say that. Wow.
And then 7% said that they wear their gym clothes up to a whole week before they give it a wash. Now, in their defense, some of the newer stuff, I know
there's antibacterial materials.
Right, now. Like some of the Under Armour and Lululemon and all that actually will tell you to prevent it from breaking down is not to wash it so often. You do about 2 or 3 workouts into it. But for the most part, it depends on, like you said, how you sweat. If you're, you know, really kind of a sweaty person, even though you're not supposed to wash it, you probably should.
I'm like a tropical rainforest, man.
And then here, only 19% of gym goers admit to they clean the gym equipment after use.
All right.
46% said they have never done it.
All right, this is how you rate a gym. The gym that we both work out at, there are people everywhere cleaning up. It's Gainesville Health and Fitness. These guys do a great job, but not all gyms are the same, you know? And
right.
Like everywhere within two or three steps, there's a big canister that has the wipes in it.
Yes, and people know? Still do not use them.
I
don't understand this. You used a machine, you clean it.
It's called gym etiquette.
Yes.
Let's say somebody is hogging a piece of equipment. My wife was asking me the other day, the guys were hanging out on this piece. Well, go up and say, do you mind if I work in? That's
right.
Gym etiquette.
Yeah.
And they should let you work in because that ain't their gym.
That's very true here.
Yeah.
And they really even say if you have a treadmill or an elliptical at home, you should be cleaning it often, even if it's your own self, because what happens is the strep virus,
right,
or bacteria, actually will start growing. And it can grow and stay on the machinery for up to 3 days.
Yeah, but take the clothes that you're storing off of it before. It.
True, please.
You know, a Nordic track will hold 4 days worth of clothes.
How about that?
Did you know that?
I didn't put that in the brochure. They say basically what you need to do is wash your hands frequently, even at the gym, even though you think you're going to be sweaty. Wash your gym. Use a disinfectant spray to clean your equipment, and make sure you do wash your gym. Get out of your gym clothes as soon as you can, and make sure you do wash them.
And wash your gym bag every now and then too.
Yeah,
I mean seriously. Also, all right, should I wear a mask? Because of all the viruses that are going around, should I wear a surgical mask?
You would tend to think so if you were to look at TV, the coronavirus in China.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I saw there was pictures of people like cutting out plastic bags and putting it over their head, which is not really smart.
I saw some guy who'd taken like a milk carton, like a milk bottle, a plastic milk bottle, and cut air holes in it, stuck it on his head.
So the whole idea you see, and especially in Asian cultures, a lot of people wearing surgical masks. Do they actually work? And the answer is yes and no. There's not a simple answer. The main job of a surgical mask is not to protect yourself from other people, it's to protect other people from you and your germs.
Yeah.
That's why surgeons wear a surgery mask, is that there's spittle that comes out when you talk.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't want some guy spittle and I'm open up on the operating table.
When you cut me open, I don't want you breathing in there.
All right. So that's the idea of a surgical mask. If you're wanting to prevent you're getting inhaling something, you actually need something that's a little bit better, something like called a tight-fitting N95 mask. And you'll find these at Home Depot and Lowe's and Ace, and you'll find them also at medical supply stores. And it's mainly because the letter actually means something as well as the number. There are three grades, and it all has to do with petroleum. N meaning that it is not it will not function submerged in petroleum or coming in contact with petroleum.
Why petroleum? You know,
I don't know.
Yeah, this is interesting because apparently it has something to do. There's three different categories. It won't work with petroleum. It's somewhat and then strongly resistant to petroleum. And I'm not sure where this petroleum's coming from.
Yeah, but the number actually talks about the percentage of particles it blocks, and it will actually, the standard is it will block particles as small as a single virus.
So N95 would block 95% of virus-sized particles.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and that's what you would use if you're, like, mowing the yard, or there's smoke, a forest fire, or if you work at a hospital where you are treating somebody for a contagious disease. They say basically the bottom line of from the CDC is like, look, if you want to use a surgical mask, use it. Understand it's not really going to protect you or protect the people around you. They say constant hand washing, covering your face when you cough and or sneeze, and not touching your eyes, nose, or mouth if your hands are not clean is pretty much the most effective way of keeping the virus out of your body.
We had a listener chime in on Facebook saying, one of the reasons, another reason for wearing the mask is that it prevents you from or makes you think about rubbing your face with contaminated hands.
Mm.
I think that's another advantage of that, at least.
And true why you see mostly Asian countries wearing this, it really has turned into, it did come out originally for health reasons. It's now turned more into a fashion statement. They actually sell these masks with, like, designs on them and
the Hello Kitty I've seen, or you look like you have duck lips.
Yeah, that's more of a fashion statement in Asia more than anything. But
it does tell people that, hey, I'm not feeling well, stay away from it.
And I think for the Japanese culture, I think it is to indicate, look, stay away from me, I'm not feeling well.
Introverts, I got an idea for you. Stay the hell away from me.
Let's talk about your broom and your dustpan. We did this morning, and it is true, when you are picking up dusting or sweeping, not not everything gets in the dustpan for some reason.
It all ends up on the end of my broom, and I have to use my hand to pick it off the broom, especially like dog or cat fur.
Yep. Here we go. So here's some hacks for you. What you had just mentioned there, what you want to grab is a wide-tooth comb to clean out your broom.
This makes it so I need to comb my broom now.
Yes.
All right.
Take your broom.
That's actually a good idea.
You want to brush it out over the standing over the trash can and use the comb to go through the bristles, and that'll take out all that nastiness without you having to touch it.
All right.
They talk about also, too, you can take a zip tie and around the broom handle.
So you can hang it up.
You can hang it up if you would do that. This was interesting. By sticking some masking or duct tape to the edge of your dustpan and then putting the other end of it on the floor, you can decrease the gap between the dustpan and the floor, making it much easier to corral every little last bit of dust into the dustpan.
Do you do double-sided or something?
No. So you would, like, this is the dustpan
right
here, and then here's the floor. You would merge the two with the piece of tape. And so you would sweep it up, and then when you lift up the dustpan, the tape should come up.
You put a piece of tape down when you're ready to you got it in a pile.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I got you. So when you're ready to put the pile in the dustpan, put the tape down, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you tape the edge of the dustpan to the floor.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea. And it's one extra step, but, you know,
works. You'll finally get that one little line of dust up into your dustpan. And the best part is that once you lift up the dustpan, you still have that one side of tape that's exposed. You can use the sticky part to stick up all the dust that's on there.
I like the tennis ball trick. I actually did this.
Yeah, and it is true. Apparently, tennis balls are great scuffers and might get some of those scuff marks off your hardwood floor. So if you just put a little X on your tennis ball,
you cut an X into it, and I stuck it on the end of my broom, and you just flip it upside down when you run into a scuff, like, and it'll take it out.
It'll take it out there here. And then I thought this was the most interesting one at all. If you have little dust bunnies or you have animals that have little fur balls, actually wet your dustpan.
See, that's a good
idea.
And
sweep into it.
It would stick to it then.
The water holds on to it.
All right.
So especially, and it's not so much getting it in there, it's walking it to the trash can where the thing starts flying in the air.
That's the most careful part of it right there, right?
Yeah. And then finally, it's more of a public service to realize that not everything is true on the internet.
Yes.
And if you are seeing one of the hundreds of YouTube videos recommending that you rub chopped onions and chili peppers and spices on your bald head in the hopes of growing hair,
doesn't work.
It does not work.
You know, what's interesting is the whole deal about the chili peppers is because chili peppers do have antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, and that's one of the things that contributes to hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that,
okay? Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? It's like the secret Chinese secret or whatever.
But there's a recipe for hair stimulation paste.
Yeah.
You take chili peppers, brandy, egg yolk, and lemon juice and massage it into your skull. Doesn't work, all right?
That sounded like when I was single and it was 2 days before payday and I was hungry. I needed something to eat. I'll do chili pepper, some brandy, some eggs, and a little bit of lemon juice.
Oh, man.
The doctors basically say not only is it ineffective, but you can actually cause what's called hypersensitivity and contact dermatitis, could be severe enough to make your hair fall out.
Great, so you could be doing more damage.
You're really going from losing your hair to flat-out bald. So
you know, I just... Yeah, be careful what you read on the interwebs.
Yeah, but it also goes we talked about this as well. I cannot believe that we had to have a story out about people about the coronavirus.
They thought it was the beer, Corona beer.
It is not caused from drinking Corona beer. Please.
Yeah.
Do we need a new plague? Do we?
A little extreme, but I'm not saying no yet.
I'm asking for a friend, okay?
Yeah,
there's our show for today.
Wow.
Thursday, January 30th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
Hey, remember, the sun is always shining.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.